Hello, this is Nan.
Hi, this is Malia.
Hey, Malia, how are you doing?
Good, I guess. Yeah.
How's the weather where you are?
Cold.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we are too. We're getting quite the storm, probably about 2 inches every hour.
Oh, my.
Yeah, yuck. Someone else joining us? Oh, Tom.
Yeah,
hi,
I am.
How are you
this
doing?
Is Tom. Doing great. We're getting a bunch of snow here, too, in Milwaukee.
Are you? Okay. It's probably the same.
Yeah, we are.
The same storm system, yeah. I guess.
Same storm system, but boy, is it coming down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the wind is just howling.
Is it snow or is it rain?
We've got snow.
Yeah, we've got snow. Lots of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We rarely get snow here in the Willamette Valley of Oregon.
Yeah. Good.
Just a skip.
Okay, well, there's just the three of us now. Joanne mentioned that she can't come, so I'm still expecting Liz, Shalini, and Donna. How's your week been, both of you?
Mine's been a little crazy.
Is it?
Well, you know, we had a tree go through our living room. So.
Oh, yes.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
So just feel
so sorry.
Something every day, you know, somebody coming up or cut up or cover.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that because of a tornado or something or a storm?
It was a really crazy windstorm, and I've heard some people talk about possibly a wind shear came through because there was a real distinct path of destruction that went through the area. And I haven't seen a map, but I think it'd be a pretty clear path. So a wind shear, I guess, is like a tornado.
Kind of, yeah. Still is strong.
Yeah. So we're living in a little one room and just trying to make do.
Did they give you any sense of when it will be livable again for you?
Likely over 6 months.
Oh my God. And you have to live in one room?
No, until it's that just time? We had to move out, and our insurance agent just wasn't, because there were so many homes that they're just so backed up, they just couldn't get their act time to get us a place. So we only found out last Saturday, so a week and a half later, that they will provide us long-term rental. And so now we just have to go through that process of, you know, they'll pick a place, and we'll say yes or no, and we'll go from there. So hopefully within a week. I'm not terribly optimistic, though, because housing is really, really tight.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's crazy. It's now been 2 weeks since it happened.
Yeah. Wow. You are really getting the opportunity to... oh, dear. Discover your strengths, I guess, eh? And trying to keep your mindset strong.
Yeah, resilience training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It definitely helps me focus on my priorities and my values.
Yeah, well, I mean, last week we were talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and here suddenly you're right down on that bottom, looking at the basics, making sure you have everything that you need for survival.
Yeah.
Wow.
I definitely spent about a week 100% in my lizard brain, and, you know, just was not able to get beyond just the moment and what was going on. It was freaky. It was so weird.
Oh, I just can't imagine the shock. I mean, thankfully no one was in the living room or wasn't hurt anyway by the sound of it.
Yeah, that's wow. Right.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, there's a Chinese curse that says, may you live in interesting times. Oh, my goodness. Well, mm-hmm. Malia, I just hardly even know what to say. The other thing, too, is that when there's a significant loss, like you've had, where suddenly the sanctity and the safety of your home is challenged, and suddenly you're having to move out and leave everything behind. I mean, that triggers a grief response too.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of loss, and so I can imagine, like you said, in your lizard brain, you're in that shock and denial. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe
mm-hmm.
it happened to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so, I think you can probably expect that you're going to have those different stages where you might get, you know, angry and of course you've got every reason to express anger and denial and back and forth and, you know, blaming and all of that until you get to the part of acceptance. So if you need any help going through that, please let me know. I'd be happy to work with you and help you.
Thanks. I did hire back my mentor coach.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So you've got some support there.
Yeah.
How's the rest of your family dealing with it?
My kids are grown and out of the house. So it's just my husband and I in the house. And
okay.
He's probably one of the more resilient people I've ever met. And so he's just cranking away.
Uh-huh. That's amazing, isn't it? Wonderful.
Yeah, really
you got a rock there. That's great.
Yeah.
While we were talking, I think I heard another beep. Is someone else checking in?
Hi, this is Donna Garcia. How are you?
Hey, Donna. Great. How are you doing?
I'm good. And just so the class is aware, in probably about 20 minutes, you may hear another beep because I'm going to try to sign in from my cell phone, but I'll
mm-hmm.
be getting a COVID vaccination, so I didn't want to lose the opportunity, but it will be during this class, so I'll be listening in and I'll be quiet. I won't be able to chime in. But,
if we hear any screaming, we'll know why.
I'll do my best to mute, and I'll know.
Class,
and I definitely didn't want to miss the vaccination opportunity, so
yeah. I don't blame you, for sure. Thanks, Donna. And I heard another beep. Someone else checking in?
Yeah, hi, Nan. This is Shalini here.
Oh, Shalini, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good. I saw your thank you for sending me your vision board. I thought it was stunning, just beautiful.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And so Joanne is not coming today. I haven't heard from Liz. So why don't we just get started on today's discussions. I know in terms of exercises that you were doing last week, you were doing some writing, perhaps about passion, your talent. You know, what makes me who I am? Perfect day. What was it like to write that? What makes me who I am? What impact did it have on you? Or did any of you do that exercise?
Well, this is Tom, and I took a little stab at it. I did some writing, not the complete exercise, but when I started finding about passion and talent and values and actually seeing them on paper, made me feel a lot better, made me feel a little more confident, a little self-aware. I wasn't, I was trying to be honest, but not negative with myself, mm-hmm. Leave out the negativity. And write about some, we have those strengths and weaknesses. Earlier on, I think in week one, we did the SWOT, S-W-O-T.
Yeah.
But this song made me take a look at it more in depth about what I have to offer and things I hadn't really realized. Things that started, I never thought of that.
I had the same experience when I first did that exercise. In fact, I have it on in a page protector, right on my corkboard. I think, anytime you're feeling some self-doubt, it's a great idea to just reread through that and, as a reminder of the kind of inner and outer strengths that you have. Thanks, Tom. Anyone else want to share or about any of the exercises that you did?
Yeah, I love doing the exercises, and I think it gave me a good sounding board, and it kind of made me re-realize my my strengths as I was writing them down and have it look at it objectively. I'm getting to know myself, and I love the exercise that I did on the values thing. I just love doing that. I don't know if that's a good thing, but I listed down 50 values that I have. And I could have written, gone on more.
Yeah.
But then I decided to stop. And I grouped them under five groups. I regrouped them, So that piece was great.
Good. I'm so glad you found that helpful. It really does help you to know yourself better, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is Malia, and I realized that I didn't have the textbook. So I have it now. Donna sent it to me, and it just was, I just lost it in the shuffle.
Okay.
And so the one that I did was My Perfect Day, and that was really interesting, that I do, possibly I didn't have my mind completely open, but I am able to live my perfect day in the summers. We have a farm that's about miles from here with a little house on it. And in the summer, I spend a lot of time there. And during COVID, we spent a lot of time there. And I just was feeling so grateful because it's very, very attainable for me to live my perfect day. And that was kind of my takeaway from.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel really, really grateful for that. So that was fun. And interesting that I'm a coach, and I do this exercise with almost every single one of my clients, but I've never done it myself.
Oh, isn't that so?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Same with the visioning stuff. So it's been really interesting for me to do it for myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, Malia, I really admire that you can, I've heard you two or three times express gratitude, and I really admire that you can do that, you know, in spite of the tree going through your roof. And when you said you did your perfect day, and I was thinking, that would be any day where a tree didn't fall through my roof. But good for you. I think the perfect day really gives you, if you didn't have one before, it gives you a purpose and a vision. It's kind of a place to start working backwards. And if you've got that already, wow.
Thanks.
So you're going to have to set some goals or a vision perhaps for your business. And if you wanted, you might want to write about a perfect day in your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, to help you set some business goals.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, if that's of interest to you. So you had the options of questions for A, B, C, or D. I don't even know what they are right now because I don't have my last week's notes in front. So did any of you choose to write or at least think about any of those in question four? Shalini, you mentioned that you got your values statement done. Did anybody else work on their values or ethics?
No, I didn't get that far.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of work, you know, a lot of work. And as long as, if you don't have the work done now during the course, at least you have it there so that you can work on your own time. And maybe having these discussions in advance of doing them might even be helpful and, you know, dislodge some ideas and thoughts for you. Shalini, I'm sorry, Tom, go ahead.
No, I was going to say these are very powerful, the personal values and code of ethics. I never thought about writing one. And so it's kind of like, this is a big task, but I think it's something worthwhile. I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah. And again, you know, for your business to have a values and ethics statement, you know, along with a mission statement, I think is a gift to your current and prospective clients when they look at your website and see, oh boy, you know, he's got a vision and mission for his business and a values and ethics statement. That really speaks a lot to who you are and to how your business operates. Shalini, I'm going to go back to you for a minute here. Now that you've written down your value statement, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, Nan, you know, what I have done so far is I've not really gotten down to writing the statement.
Okay.
But what I've gotten down to all, I've listed down all 50 values that resonate with me.
Yeah.
And I have gotten down to group them under 5 categories.
Yeah.
And I have also written the top 5 values out of all those 50 values that I've listed down.
Good.
And right, and I haven't gotten down to write a value statement, you know. So
yeah, that's okay. So what will you do now that you have identified those values and the categories and your 5 most important values? What will you do with that?
Yeah, I believe that we have to get down to writing, I think the question B, which says that once you have your 5 most important primary values, you can write a code of ethics under each one, describing how your decisions and actions will be consistent with each value. I'm not sure though, Nan. I haven't really gotten down to think about it. So I'm looking forward to getting those answers from you.
Okay. I was just thinking about, you know, for example, putting them on your website, or framing them and putting them, keeping them on your wall, or, you know, posting them somewhere where they're visible. As a reminder, or is it enough to have gone through the exercise and made you recognize and realize what your top 5 values are?
You know, this is, I think, Nan, I think we need to do this. See, I'm not sure yet, right? This is the first time I'm doing this, and I'm not sure. You know, I need to know what the other folks are doing, and is this what I've done? So I need more time
I just wondered if you'd thought about it, you know, so, or if you had made a decision about.
I can share what my top 5 values are. So my top 5 values were truth, love, energy, power, and excellence. But then again, I'm not too sure whether these are the 5 or can I choose another. So I really don't know these are the ones. How do I feel very confident or sure about that these are the ones?
So
that's what I'm struggling with.
Okay.
These are the ones.
I think that's very fair. I think it happens because our values, we prioritize our values, you know, and sometimes they change priorities depending on the circumstances. And sometimes our values conflict. You know, you've got power. You know, I wonder if there would ever be a moment where power might conflict with love, for example, or certainly, or with truth, you know, that there are moments when sometimes our values conflict with one another, sometimes our values conflict with other people, with mm-hmm. situations and that kind of thing.
Right.
So I just think it's really interesting, isn't it, when we talk about values. And I don't know if any of you got an opportunity to read the scenarios where the first one, you know, is that Gloria Goodhart is a person of integrity and she maintains confidentiality and respects and wants to preserve life. And then Donald Down wants to tell her something in confidence and she promised to keep it. And then she learned that, you know, he was considering suicide. And so what do you think Gloria should do in this case? She made a promise, and honesty and, you know, friendship are important to her. Keeping her integrity and making a promise is important to her.
To me, when I read that, it was, I think that we have these values, and they're like in the, they are guidelines in a sense, you know, mm-hmm. guardrails, guidelines to me, and they're like a compass. You know, you work those things, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to always be that way. So, like, for that example, it was like, yeah, absolutely, you step up and do something, tell someone what, you know, whatever it is you do, you go, mm-hmm. I would go against my value of...
You would break your promise, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's really, to me, it's important that these are not hard, fast, so that I don't allow myself the flexibility to change. I mean, like, one of my values is optimism. Well, crap, last week, I was not very optimistic.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, it's like, well, nah, big deal. She doesn't wear the kind of clothes you like, whatever. No harm done. So in that one, I, same thing. And I had that situation happen to me about a year ago. We went to a little family reunion, and my sister, at the age of 57, wore a super, super mini skirt. And that's just like so inappropriate. But it's like, well, you know, I'm not wearing the mini skirt. She's wearing the mini skirt. And she's super happy. So I'm like, oh, okay. Just broke my value of being honest. And I was okay with that.
Well, you also respect other people's feelings and other people's right to their own decisions, and so, you know, they do. They switch, for sure. Just going back to the last one for 1 second about the confidentiality. For those of you who are coaches, it's really important for you to have in your client agreement or in your welcome package or wherever you post your policies and procedures to say that you offer confidentiality unless there is a potential, you know, for harm to your client or others. That way, there's not any, it's a disclaimer. And so you kind of head off any potential legal issues. You know, if you report that your friend or that this person is considering suicide or is considering robbing a bank or whatever it is that they tell you where someone could get hurt, and you report it to police, you could end up with a civil lawsuit if you decided that because you broke your oath of confidentiality. Now, the oath of confidentiality in coaching is not legally protected the way that confidentiality between a therapist and a client, or a doctor and a client, a lawyer, or a priest. Those are protected. Confidentiality is protected by law. For coaching, the confidentiality is a means of creating a safe space for our clients. And so I think it's really important to have that disclaimer there, again, just as a defensive mechanism. How do you all feel about that?
Well, Nan, this is Tom, and this one very much hit home for me personally because I actually went through this with a client.
Oh, my.
And, and unfortunately, I was, you know, I'm coaching on personal finances, people get into money problems, and then things just snowball and go downhill from there. And whatever the cause is. You know, whatever it might be, career, maybe they just didn't get the career they wanted, but whatever. I had a client who just kept talking about suicide, and I asked a friend of mine who's a therapist, what should I do? And she said immediately, you have three options. One, call 911 or call your emergency services. Two, ask that person, can I take you to the emergency room? You know, step up if you're, because we were doing in-person at the time.
Oh,
or three, I'd like to let a family member know about this. We have an emergency contact on file, so I'm going to allow your emergency contact to know this. Just in case. But yeah, it's very, very, very serious. Very serious.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. When someone talks suicide, I know that, you know, people say, oh, it's just a call for attention. Well, yes, it is. So do something about it. And, you know,
so
don't just laugh it off.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that idea of going with the person to the hospital if you're there face to face, encouraging the person to, you know, call their doctor or to call a local helpline, crisis line, if there is one, extracting a promise from the person. I worked in crisis and suicide for 10 years. And so just even extracting a promise that you will go, and when you get there, I want you to phone me, you know, and tell me that you're there. And if
Absolutely.
Not, I'll be phoning you, that kind of thing. So if you're not able to personally get there. So thanks, Tom. I'm really glad you shared that, because it does happen. When, especially these days of COVID, people are getting more and more depressed, and sometimes, you know, they're not seeing their doctors regularly, and it can happen.
Yeah.
So our next scenario is about this honesty thing. It really is important, I think, to, you know, consider what being honest is going to do to the person.
Well, you can always look at them and say, honey, lime green is not your color. Come on, let's go shopping.
Yeah, it can be done. Yeah. You know, if your friend was walking out with the back of her dress tucked in her pantyhose, or, you know, she's trailing
toilet paper.
Toilet paper behind her, on her shoe or something, you would run up and ask her because you wouldn't want her to be embarrassed. And
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, it depends. And I guess it depends on your relationship with the person. You know, my brother, it's funny, when I was writing this, I was thinking about my brother because he prides himself on being honest. And so he uses that as an opportunity to be nasty sometimes, you know. He'll just come out and say it and then say, well, I told you I'm honest. I'll always tell you the truth. And he's reduced people to tears. You know, he just wields it like I'm estranged from my brother because of his values, and his personality differs so widely.
Is honesty really a license to be nasty or mean to someone? You know?
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
That sounds like a cop out.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think it's a cowardly thing to do. You know, to use it as an opportunity to hurt people's feelings, or just to be mean. I think it's I think it shows that there's a self-doubt, insecurity. That's what I'm looking for. I think that shows an insecurity.
Yeah. Very much so.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on to our next scenario. So we have a couple, Larry and Lily Lovebirds, and they've been married for 10 years, and they have young children and a happy relationship, except that there's this issue of bullying in the school, and Larry wants the kids to go to Taekwondo and be, you know, learn to defend themselves so they can, you know, hit back if somebody hits them, that kind of thing. And the mom doesn't want them to learn how to fight. She tells the kids that fighting is not an option. And the dad's been teaching the kids how to box and play fight, and so there's a real disparity in there. And you know, it obviously it's going to have an impact on the relationship. So what are some of your thoughts about a situation like this, where you've got two parents whose values are in conflict, and you've got the children in the middle? Have any of you experienced anything like that?
Well, this is Malia. I certainly did. I came from a family that used physical punishment, and that was my mode, and that was the way I expected that I would raise my kids. And my husband was completely the opposite. He can't remember ever being spanked. So when our kids came along, it was obvious that there was a difference there. And we just talked about it a lot, and he was able to convince me that physical punishment was not okay. And mm-hmm. just because it happened to me, it didn't mean that it was okay. And so we did not raise our kids with physical punishment. And I'm so happy that it worked.
Yeah, there is that age-old question, isn't there, about how to raise children, whether through praise or through punishment, and which works best.
Mm-hmm.
I know in Alec and my grandson's school, it's my only point of reference for schools these days. I mean, we did have corporal punishment when I went to school, but that was a long time ago. These days, the school has regulations about bullying. And I remember it happened actually once to my nephew, where he and a couple of his friends were playing around, and some other kid came up and kind of pushed my nephew and took the ball away. So my nephew, Matt, ran and chased the kid and pushed him and took their ball back. And they both ended up in the principal's office, and they both got expelled for a couple of days. And the reasoning, the principal said, you know what, if you had done nothing, if you had gone to the teacher, you know, and said, hey, so-and-so pushed me and took our ball, then the teacher would have dealt with it and the boy would have received punishment. But the fact that you did exactly the same thing that he did means that you get punished for your actions. Because there's a zero tolerance, you know, for physical fighting or whatever. And I think all of the schools now, it's the same thing. They have zero tolerance for fighting or bullying of any kind, even vocal, you know, calling names or anything. So... and it's really interesting that the school system has developed this system of, instead of retribution, go and tell someone else. So it's kind of interesting because, you know, there's this culture about you don't snitch, you don't tell, you deal with things yourself. And the school is saying you don't deal with them yourself. You go and get help and let authorities deal with it. So it must be a bit confusing for the kids. And certainly
this
confusing.
This is a whole parent thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very confusing. Very confusing, yeah. But this is a parenting, you know, because you want to teach kids how to be self-reliant. We adopted both our children, and so we didn't do any physical because of past abuse that they had.
Mm-hmm.
We did go through, there's a class, parenting class out there called Love and Logic, which we went through, and it helped. For instance, mm-hmm. bullying scenarios, stick your thumbs in your pockets, kind of rock back and forth a little bit, smile, and say, thanks for sharing that, you know. we call that the bullying stance, okay? You're not reacting with tears, you know, you're not reacting with fear, you're acting with confidence, but to say, this is my boundary.
Yeah.
It's good to teach people that, good to teach your children that. That can help sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not sure I would. I definitely
too,
would agree with Lily. Yeah, it works with adults too, because I can say like Lily, I hate fighting,
uh-huh.
and yeah, it's not you know, you, like your nephew, you know, you don't want to go chasing after the kid and knock
uh-huh.
him down.
Yeah.
So yeah, this can be a complex issue, but for the kid, they need the tools to work it out too.
Yeah, exactly. And then, well, and for the kids, not only are their parents having different conflicts, but then the school is saying something too that's conflicting with their father's, advice. I can remember my father teaching us how to box. My brother is kind of a short person, and that short male syndrome, but he was a real fighter, and I remember my father being so proud of him. And thought it was just horrible. So it's really interesting how I think your values sometimes are born out of seeing other people and not liking their behavior. And, for me, it established very early on. My brother was a fighter. My father was a fighter. I hated it. And so, out of that comes the belief I'm not going to be like that. So it's interesting. Kids can learn, from good models and bad models. And here's the other situation.
Sure, Nan. Please go ahead.
No, say what you wanted to say, please. I'm sorry.
I personally think, Nan, that each child is different, and there are some kids who are very assertive, and the other kids, who would not want to do that. And I think as parents, we're talking about the values of the mom and the dad. But I think although they're too young, the kids, but I think they also have a say in this. And, some kids are very uncomfortable taking it on. And I think this, there has to be a customized or individualized way of doing things after when you know your kid and you decide it's not about the mom, it's not about the dad, right? It's about the kid. Right. And even I've seen, I have 14-year-old, I have a 6-year-old, and he has a great, he has a personality of his own. And I obviously cannot ask him to do the same that my daughter did, because my daughter is a different personality altogether. Mm-hmm. Each kid has their own way of doing things. I think it's finding a natural way of doing things that comes naturally to the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like you said, the rules and regulations, right, they always help us. So I don't know if I'm deviating from the topic, but I really think that, here the kid takes a priority, because the kid, even if he's a kid, has a say in this, because what comes naturally to one person will not come naturally to the other person.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I love that. And that really shows, I think, how parenting has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, back in the day, it was children are seen and not heard. Children have no say in anything, And then we started to encourage kids to speak up, and then I think it's become maybe a little overgrown, where kids feel that they have permission to just say whatever they want to say whenever they want to say it. And there's less a show of respect for, you know, for adults, for professionals like teachers and so forth, you know, that maybe we've kind of, the pendulum is swinging. Like we've gone to one extreme where children are seen and not heard, and the extreme we have now is that they feel like they have the right to act any way they please. And so we need to wait for it to go back to the middle where we're looking at, you know, instilling in them the values of manners and good behavior and, you know, thinking about other people in addition to themselves. I think that's a really good
point. A balance.
Yeah.
Right, a balance.
Absolutely. Thanks, Shalini. And then we have this last scenario where the daughter is a well-behaved young girl, 14 years old, and her parents worry about peer pressure. And we sure know that that exists. And you know, being on the internet and all of these apps now, like TikTok and, where, you know, where's the line? Where do you, and these parents have obviously, again, they've gone a little overboard. They're reading her diary, tracking her, you know, every move. And she's looking for privacy. She wants to put a lock on her door so that she can have her own personal space. So what do you think about that? We've got parent and children conflicts in values.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, go ahead.
We face it all the time. You know, my daughter is exactly the same age. So we got her Instagram account deactivated after kind of 2 years. But then we realized and we told her, we had a long discussion with her. And she felt, and we felt that she'd crossed the line. And so we did that with her blessings and permission. We were able to do that. We had a tough time, and this was during COVID, 2020 last. And you know, so. So yeah, we did that. It's a tough one, the parents are right, but then I do agree, you know, the child's desire for trust, respect, and privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a tough one, and you have to balance it, and you have to have an involvement. And parents can cross a line, but there has to be some common agreements again, where the parents, let the child know what their values are and get a buy-in from the child. And they both are in, you know, concurrence with where the line starts and where it ends.
Yeah.
So it's all about communicating and, you know, getting common agreements, and which are, again, not easy. It's easier said than done. Yeah, but it's tough. It's tough parenting. I think we were very good children way back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all our parents wouldn't say the same.
Yeah.
So, but I think we have to be tough. now. So I think it's all about buy-in, and it's, you know, there will be a conflict. It's about setting the setting agreements and intent and being involved with your child and letting your child know that you know, when it comes to crossing this line, then we do this. So there are consequences when you do that. And at the same time, yeah, as a parent, I think we have all we need to respect and trust our kids and give them their privacy. So it works both ways. And it's a conflict, we have to live with it and deal with them when lines are crossed. That's what we try to do as parents.
Oh, I agree. And communication, boundaries, consequences, you know, when you set out the expectations, and I always wanted to give our kids the benefit of the doubt and have the expectation that they're going to do well. You know, because here are the boundaries. Here's, you know, you don't go past this, and there are reasons for that. And here are the reasons we don't want this happening. And so this is the boundary. And if you do stray from that on purpose, then you know here are the consequences. So don't be surprised when, you know, when your account gets deleted or whatever. So I love that you did that. And then you have the expectation that they're going to obey the rules. And then when they don't obey the rules and they have consequences, then they kind of, we used to call it the trust bank. You know, you start off with your trust bank is full to the brim, and then once you start making withdrawals from the trust bank, our trust in you gets less and less, you know. And so it's like I wish in the school system that they would start kids off with an A. And, you know, the expectation is to keep it, not to, you know, claw and and work their way up to it, but just, you know, show me that you're, deserving of this. And, what's the phrase? Helicopter parents? Where some parents are so afraid of their children getting into trouble that they smother them. So, and the world's a different place now too with COVID. You know, my 13-year-old grandson has not, had a physical, interaction with his friends since last March. And you wonder, you know, what is this going to do to our kids? This social isolation. It's really going to be interesting to see when we get out of the pandemic, what kind of behaviors they're going to be displaying, you know, because are they going to be like caged animals suddenly set free? Or, you know, will we have to set new boundaries for them? I don't know. One thing I've noticed is now that the kids are home, parents are really finding, you know, fun things to do with their kids. And being really creative and going outside on walks and hikes and, you know, exercising together, dancing together. It really has kind of, in a way, probably enhanced a lot of relationships.
Yeah, I think so too, yes.
And then on the other hand, there has also been an increase in physical abuse, and, you know, women's shelters are getting filled. So being this close to someone who has anger problems, you can't call that anything to be grateful for, that's for sure.
Sure.
So then there's the issue of, and again, I think, you know, compromise is important, and as you said, communication is so important. And then in our third scenario, there's the issue where we have this human resources manager working for an insurance company that she does not share values with. They treat her dreadfully because they can. And she ends up hating her job. She hates the company policies. What options, you know, does she have? Have any of you experienced that, where you've been in a workplace where your values have conflicted?
This is Malia. I'll just tell you a quick story about the time that happened to me. It was quite a long time ago, but it was really, really impactful. There was a supervisor of mine. He is actually two layers up, and I was working on one project, and he told me to charge my time to a different project. And I didn't feel good about that. And so I ended up in his office talking to him about it, and, you know, and he explained it. He had his own reasons for it. You know, in a contorted way, I could understand how he could convince himself that that was correct, but I just still wouldn't do it. And I asked him, I said, what happens if I don't do that? He said, well, your projects probably won't look good and you won't get promoted.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh my
I
gosh.
Said, I can live with that. I would prefer to live with that than to be charging my time to a different client when I'm working on a particular project. And he said, okay. And I said, okay. So I left. And about, oh gosh, it was probably less than 4 months later, and I didn't do anything about that. I just said, you know, I'm not going to participate. I guess there is a moral issue in there as to, did I have reported him? I chose not to report him. I chose to just, you know, do what I wanted to do. That felt like I was living with integrity. But about 4 months later, the president of the company walked up, knocked on his door and said, give me your car keys, which was a company car at the time. Give me your car keys, give me your entrance code and the key to your office and leave now. And that's the last we ever saw him. And it was because of that issue. So, you know, that was...
Thank heavens you weren't attached to it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I guess there's always a dilemma there of should I have been the one to report him. But I was, I had been working for about 4 years in my whole career. So, you know, I just didn't feel like I had. It's that power dynamic there. But at least I felt like I preserved my personal integrity.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, you stuck to your values and ethics. I think that's, you know, and personal, your personal integrity, that's your personal reputation. It's how you face the world, how you show up in the world. That's important. What a terrible situation to be in, though. And I mean, not only did he want to do things in a funny way, he blackmailed you. If you don't help me, then your projects don't get valued and you don't get, you know, promoted. Wow. Has anyone else ever had an experience where you've been conflicted at work because of values with either a person or the company itself? Well, I think it's a situation that comes up, you know, a lot of times, and I think companies, especially now that we're in this gig economy and so many companies have cut out the idea of having employees. Instead, they have, you know, part-time workers or workers that they call entrepreneurs so that they don't have to pay them any kind of benefits or give them any kind of rights whatsoever. And we have companies that employ children in workshops, you know, in Asia and around the world where they're using companies. I read the other day, companies like, Best Buy, The Brick, and Costco, buy appliances that are made in China and are of very poor quality, but they don't advertise them as being made in China. They advertise them under other company names. It's like, oh my gosh, you can't trust, you can't trust any company these days.
No.
They're, you know, the bottom line is driving everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, we've,
companies,
yeah, go ahead.
Lose.
A lot of those companies,
sorry,
what?
A lot of those companies will lose. Will have, you know, they think they're going to win big profits and big money, and they actually don't. I guess we all probably have some story or the other, you know, of a bad experience with a company. I worked in county government for a year and a half, and it was extremely rough. It was not good. Too much politics. So,
yeah.
Oftentimes, values conflicting with organizational values. Yeah, that definitely happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's why it's really important, too, when people are applying for jobs that the interview process has to be a two-way one, where you want to interview the organization about their values as a company and an organization. You know, like Malaya, some people would rather not work for an organization than have you know, have them not be green, for example, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the values have to be aligned. So Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of post joining, I think it's part of the HR process to align, to make sure that, you know, how your values are aligned with that of the company. But also it's very tricky, right? The corporates are, you know, are being driven by bottom line. The people are being driven by the money, the salaries that they get. Mm-hmm. So this is a tricky one. And, you know, where consumerism is concerned or corporate, I don't know how, you know, unless there are some companies where values are of high priority, but by and large, these scenarios are very tricky, and I think it's the commercials that take over, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think once we know what we value and how the kind of ethics that we want to see in a company, then we can do our homework about the various companies that it's really interesting to see that what's going on in the States, for example, where, you know, so many corporations pulled back their funding from the Republicans who agreed with Trump. And they pulled their funding because of, you know, because of that person's ideals and behaviors, their ethics. And so, you know, I think that's really something that we can all do is, before we make a purchase, is do a bit of homework about the company and say, is this a company that I want to support, you know, or should I boycott them?
Yeah.
And maybe if we all did that, we could start making a difference in the way they behave. We have a telecom company here, and they are the best community corporation. There was something that they were doing the other night. My husband said, "My gosh, you really have to admire that company for the way that they get into communities and problem solve." And we just started talking about all the different things that they did. And, you know, we were pleased because it's our company that, you know, that we are with. And we were just, I mean, it sounds like a commercial, but my husband and I are just sitting there talking about how we're really pleased that we're with that telecom company.
Sure. Yeah.
And,
those are the examples. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if I were with a different company, I would switch. Just for that reason, to support what they're doing. And I think as consumers, we probably need to do a little bit more of that, to boycott the companies that, you know, have policies that we don't like, and then we can be advocates. We can write to the company and say, I'm not buying from you anymore, and here's why. So until you change your practices, you know, and I'm going to be telling everybody I know what you're doing or what you're not doing. And, you know, it's just a way that we can be good community citizens, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're at the end of our time today. I hope you've enjoyed this discussion. I hope you found it helpful. I don't really have any homework for you other than you could go back to session 2 and look at the exercises there, and maybe if you haven't done any of them, or do a different one. And then what did you write down for E? The purpose of my life is to what? And so if you haven't answered that question yet, then try and have it ready for next week's class, because that's your life purpose statement. And I've given you mine. Mine is that I inspire and motivate people to use their gifts to help others have a better quality of life by teaching and coaching and by example, always being my authentic self. So it's a bit of a mouthful. I'm not sure that I have it memorized. I do have it. I keep it near. Because it's important to me.
Good.
So I hope you have a good week and enjoy the exercises, and we will meet again next Tuesday. Any thoughts before we go?
Thank you, man. Oh, you're welcome.
This is Donna. Thank you, and I made it through the vaccination.
Oh, Donna, that's great. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
You
are the first person I
know
to have one.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to have it. So
good.
Sorry I couldn't be more participating, but I will re-listen to the spots where I couldn't hear. And I had to laugh. Because I was a little bit nervous. I don't like shots, and I had to laugh to myself because when you first said that, man, oh, well, try not to hear the screams, you know. And there were like 30 people in the room getting the shots at once, and it was a little loud in there, you know. So I kind of had to chuckle and share that. But anyway, thank you very much, everyone.
Oh, Donna, I'm glad I could be there with you. Yes, it's over. Good for you. All right, so have a great week, everyone. See you next week. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Stay safe.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.